Wonderful works of God, the wonderful works of our Father. It's something we can talk about and continue to talk about. But it does us good, well, occasionally, to go to our Father's Word and understand why we should know and understand the mighty, magnificent works of Almighty God. The word wonderful, magelios, in the Greek, as we're going to go to the New Testament first in the book of Acts. And it means to set aside, it means to, magelios, we call it magnificent, all right, in the translation into the English. And it carries right through the magnificent works of God. You understand, for those that listen to Him and those that follow Him, He has performed a great work, and we can't put that in the past tense because it continues daily. That work continues. It continues through you if you're His, and those blessings flow to you if, the condition being, you understand and do assist, fill your place in the magelios, the magnificent works of Almighty God. And while we're at it, we might as well get to it in the Hebrew as well. The Hebrew, the word, as we're going to be using a great deal today, is P-A-L-A, pronounced pale. And it means, in a sense, to separate in the sense of it's almost too high for anyone except those that understand the magnificent works of God. There is one other word we will use instead of P-A-L-A in the Hebrew. We will be doing pele, P-E-L-E, which means magical or miracle, better said. And that will be the use that we will close this lecture with. So having laid the groundwork, you're all familiar with the second chapter of the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostle, meaning the acts they perform serving Christ. Christ was with them. You can turn to the second chapter of Acts, if you will, at this time. You'll remember in the first chapter, Christ was with them 40 days after the resurrection. And then He told them, don't leave your peaceful habitation, which is Jerusalem, until you receive that shall come, which of course was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon them on Pentecost, which means 50 in the Greek tongue, came to them, appeared to them, and they all spoke in cloven tongues, which, if you're familiar with it, many people unfortunately call it the unknown tongue. There's nothing unknown about it. Quite the contrary, as we pick it up in the sixth verse of Acts chapter 2, seventh verse, let's make it. Now let's take the sixth. We'll start there. The sixth verse reads, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were stunned because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Language in the Greek is tongue. What do you think mystical about it? They all heard it, not only in that, let's continue, seven, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They're supposed to have that country dialect they use down there in Galilee. And I hear them what? Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? They're using the same dialect I use right down in the county where I was raised. That's what I hear with my ear. You see, that's the majesty and the wonderful works of God and the guarantee that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there. And then it continues on to list many nations of different tongues. And it was true for each of them. They all understood exactly what was said. And naturally, we know that God's elect, when they are delivered up before the false Messiah, this same tongue will be spoken again. Not by you, but through you, by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach, as God, the wonderful works pour forth over the whole world. His truth, the meat of His Word coming forth at that time. And no man can do that in all languages at one time. When man does it, you must have an interpreter for each tongue. Else they'd have been multilingual. But naturally, each time, the Holy Spirit does it all at one time. That's a miracle. Okay? Now, let's skip, if we may, to the 11th verse for our subject. Cretes or Crates and Arabians, that would be a Greek tongue, no doubt, there, and Arabic otherwise. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. What were they saying? It's important that you anchor on that. What were these people saying? What was the Holy Spirit saying through these people? Was in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That means everything from the basics, and that from the Old Testament where it speaks of the wonderful works of God. God's elect must know that, must be prepared for it. Naturally, it will be the Spirit speaking. But it doesn't hurt for you to do your homework and know. You know, everybody says, well, it couldn't be understood, it couldn't be this. You know, I've always been, it's been my point to want to know, what did they say if it could be understood? Well, naturally, as we continue on, we're zeroed in on certain parts, but we're going to a part that might surprise you today. Verse 12. And they were all amazed. No doubt they were. How would you feel if you had someone of Chinese tongue, Japanese tongue, this Spanish, Italian, French, Russian, all in one room, and this voice came and everyone could hear it and understand it with clarity? Man can't do that, being the point. Okay, what meaneth this? Naturally, it was shocking. 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You know, people of the world have to find an excuse for everything, all right? Probably the reason they would say that, they already were, okay? Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. You listen to me. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. Maybe? No. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, not Peter, God. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall, not maybe, shall prophesy. And your men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. What are considered the wonderful works of God? Well, look around you a bit. What kind of world do you live in? I mean, you don't have to go very far from here. Last night, 40 miles south of Tijuana, or yesterday before yesterday, a police officer was shot down in his car. They found two bodies beside the road that were decomposed of two other men. And while they were out looking, there was a couple of three others they ran across, okay? I'm just saying, look around the world. You don't have to go south of Tijuana to find that. It's all over. And this makes God's wonderful work more appealing to us by the moment, for it continues to deteriorate the world conditions. And this puts a shine and a polish on God's wonderful works and allows them to speak for themselves, because you are a person that can take advantage of it. Take advantage, that is to say, of His blessings, of His wisdom. You don't have to be a part of that. You don't have to go down to where they are to reach them. All you have to do is set the example of how to rise above it. And how do you do that? The wonderful works of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The word there in the Greek was megalios, which is to say magnificent. We're going now to pe, which is to say separate, to make great, to make it very difficult, but it is wonderful. Psalms 40. Psalms chapter 40, or the 40th Psalm. This 40th Psalm was a Psalm of Messiah speaking to the Father. Okay? And naturally, where the Father and the Son are, Messiah, then there is the Holy Spirit also. With that thought in mind, Eli, the wonderful works of God. Listen, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever. He hears your cry. When you cry out, when you speak to Him, don't you ever doubt that He hears you, that He is cognizant of your thoughts even. He does, too. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He created everything that we have. Do you know who He created it for? For us. We're family. And He knows that. And He takes care of family. You know, you could take this from two dimensions. You can take it from two dispensations, probably better said. You know, we're in a miry clay old body now, and so is everybody else in the world. And I guess that's why clay likes to, it seems to associate with sin and troubles of the world. He was lifted above that because He was perfect. Verse 3, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. I want you to concentrate on that. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it. And fear, that means love, revere, and shall trust in the Lord. Without trust, I'm sorry, you're stuck in the mud, friend. You're buried down in the mire. If you can't trust your Father, I'm sorry, you probably don't have anybody to trust. You've been either hurt so bad or wounded so bad by something or someone, and probably being biblically illiterate, do not know that God will never leave thee, nor will He forsake thee, as long as you reach out to Him. Trust Him. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord's trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You want to listen to lies? Hey, all you got to do is turn the TV set on occasionally. You can hear a bunch of them. Why? What is a lie? If it is spoken to represent the Word of God and it isn't the Word of God, most likely your suspicions should go up that it's probably a lie. People trying to show you shortcuts. Let me tell you something. God's Word and your trust in Him is the shortest cut there is. It's the easiest. It's to love Him. Trust Him. What did He just say? I hope you didn't read over it. Blessed is the person that trusts Him. Are you blessed? Then trust Him. That's His promise. He keeps His Word. Then you are blessed indeed. Don't listen to the traditions of men that would in a proud way try to deter you from absorbing the emotions of your father that created your very soul that is your nearest relative. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works. This is it, friend. This is what you've got to speak of on that day. Prepare yourself. I know it's the Holy Spirit that speaks, but get familiar with it. The wonderful works which thou hast done and thy thoughts. Think about that. We're talking about God's thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee if I would declare and speak them. They are more than can be numbered. True, when you stop and think and recount all the wonderful works that God has done, miraculous, separate, hard, too high for us almost to be understood, but He is your Father, so you must try. And the foundation is the basics, that is to say, to be familiar with the wonderful works that He has done for you. Then this nudges you to maybe do something a little wonderful for Him in your life, to help your family, and so forth. 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. You didn't want those burnt animals. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. That's not what He wants. Do you know what He wants? He wants your love. He wants you to love Him. Why? Because He loves you. That's what all of His works were about. That He performed the way that you, in believing upon Him and trusting Him and having a working knowledge of the miracles. You know, those miracles didn't happen as a one-time thing. They are types. Where you find yourself in that position, it applies to you today when you ask. He hears. Because His ears are always open to you. His mind is always open to you if you ask and mean it from your heart and meet the conditions that He has set forth. It's very important. Now, those burnt animals didn't give Him that much pleasure other than you wanted to please Him. What He really wanted was your love. Now Messiah continues. 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. You should all recognize that from Hebrews, the 10th chapter in the New Testament. For that was the words of Christ. He was the living Word. Yes, He came in the volume of this book. And it was written long ago, but it spoke of His coming and His death on the cross for you. That was a wonderful work that God saw fit to save your soul. He allowed the Son to die on the cross as your Savior. That was the sacrifice for one and all times. Burnt animals are a poor sacrifice compared to the sacrifice that God made for you. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And I hope in doing His wondrous work that you've absorbed enough of this word through time, been taught. What? We just heard the little children. Hey, you think that's too young to start? No. I'd like to see a lot of church members have to sing that little song, you know, without the words. That's the way you place it in your heart. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's to say my mind. 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Do you know where that's written? You'll find that written in Psalms 22, His words from the cross as He was being crucified, where He made those statements, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, quoting David's words from Psalms 22. And he spoke of even the Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing at the foot of the cross. In the 22nd verse of Psalms 22, you'll find this. You'll also find it in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, where he explains why he saw fit to be born again, that is to say, born from above, in the Son of Man's flesh body, whereby he paid the price on the cross to destroy death, which is to say, the devil. That has been voiced in the congregation, and that is the wonderful works of God, in part that you are to understand. I will repeat those scriptures one more time. You will find that same phrase written in Psalms 22:22, and in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Psalms 40, verse 10, and it reads, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Beloved, you can't help yourself. That's why when you pick up a truth that just bursts within you and you have to share it, you have to share it with someone. Because it is the truth. And it is God's way of the truth growing and growing. 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Many people think God is a wicked God. Oh, God, look what God did to me today. He didn't do it. You did. You allowed it. We have a God that is full of mercy. So don't try to hook him up or kick him about or say, what's the burden of God today? God doesn't bring burdens. People bring burdens on themselves or they listen to some schnook that will put a burden on them. It's your fault, not somebody else's. So stand up and be a man, woman, or a child of God and take names and kick dragons. Make your own way. Don't be taken advantage of. You're a child of God. God is a merciful God, and you'll never find it any other way. You'll never find that he is not loving. God himself said in Ezekiel the other day, which we're teaching at this time, I get no pleasure from seeing the wicked die. Here, after all, they're his children. You think you would get pleasure from seeing one of yours die? I don't think so. Well, God is the same way, full of love. Verse 12, for innumerable evils or travesties have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Or it's just a little bit, feels a little bit forsaken. What's that? Christ made that statement? No, he was able to take all of ours upon him. That's the gift. That's the wonderful. They are works of God. Is that he was able to take on all the sins of the world and be perfect enough in his loving mercy to say, I forgive you. I've handled it for you. I forgive you. You see, he knows basically who did cause it. From the verse we just quoted, second chapter of Hebrews, verse 14, that Satan will get your ear and tell you how great you are, what a wonderful, wonderful person you are, if you'll just serve God this way or that way, and it isn't written here. Hey, Satan's a pretty good scripture lawyer. He knows scripture better than most men. I can guarantee you that. Don't listen to him. Because that's why Christ had to take all that upon himself, and he looks forward to the day that he can destroy that one, which is to say Satan, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. I suppose what I want you to feel from that is what I might feel at times is how we pain him. You know? He's talking about your sins. He's talking about my sins. that that innocent one had to take them upon himself. And he didn't ask for it. He did it willingly. That, my friend, is a miraculous work of love, that he forgives you each time you repent. He gives you a fresh start. He was able. And if there was ever a wonderful work, that was it, friend. And he did it for us. What? Because he hates us? No, because he loves us. He's a wonderful father. Don't you ever say anything negative about him or try to blame anything on him. We do it, unfortunately. 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You can cry that cry anytime you want to. 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul, not flesh body, soul, to destroy it to hell, if you would, to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. And God will accept that prayer. But don't blame God for it. Don't ever, ever. As it is written in one great book, if you ask what kind of burden has God brought today on you, he'll put a curse on you. He'll do it. 15. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, ha. 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually. How often? Say continually, the Lord be magnified. It means in love, understanding, compassion. 7. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Think about that. Poor and needy, but the Lord still has time. He thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And he doesn't. That promises to you today through Messiah, through Christ. And Christ is the go-between, that is to say, the intercessor. Do you know something? When he was being delivered up to that cross, he knew what would be placed upon him. He didn't whip up. He did not say, oh, let's put this off till tomorrow. Oh, I didn't do it. Why should I take all their stuff on me? Now, there's a lot of people would say that, and you know it. Just let me kind of take care of myself. I've got all I can say grace over here, just, you know. No. He could have opened his mouth and proved his innocency and walked away. He didn't whimper. He took it for you. Because there's only one thing that would cause him to do that. He loves you. He loves you very much. That he did this. For you, don't ever hesitate to ask. And for goodness sakes, don't ever hesitate to let him know you appreciate it, that you love him, that you need him, that he makes your life complete. How could anyone not trust someone that has done that for us? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. How could you not trust someone like that? That wouldn't whimper to pay the price, the debt for us. Think about it. The wonderful works of God. Okay, we're going to go to Psalm 78 and verse 1, and it reads, this is Meshkel, this is instruction to Asaph the collector, all right? The title, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Do you ever listen to God's word? I mean, he is your father, and he's done all this for you. The least you can do is listen. I will open my mouth in a parable, will be to some. I will utter dark sayings of old, and this showing that divine history, contains much more than appears on the surface if you'll just take a look. Okay. Because why? Because you have eyes to see and ears to hear after you accept Him and follow Him. 3, which we have heard and have known, we came to know, and our fathers have told us. It's passed on from mouth to mouth. I wish that were true in this generation as much as it was then. 4, it was bad enough then. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And there is our subject again. This is what was spoken on Pentecost Day. This is what came from the mouths of those children speaking of these wonderful works of God. And you're going to be there before too long. 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should not make them known to their children. The Mosaic commandments. Do you know something? You know what is really sad? The house of Israel to this generation doesn't even know who it is, basically. The majority do not. That's really sad. How could it be passed? The real truth, the commandment, be passed when the parents don't even know. 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Don't ever get caught short in that. The house of Judah and the house of Israel, you've got to separate them. And you've got to follow them. The commandments there, whereby it's better understood. Because there's no way you can understand the wonderful works of God without understanding that. Why? Because of what He did for the children. 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Wonderful works of God. But keep His commandments. Do what? Keep His commandments. That's a condition. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Can't learn by their mistakes. If there's any one thing you do, beloved, learn by other people's mistakes. You don't have to make them yourself. Oversimplification, perhaps. That stove is hot. It is. Really hot? Hot. Whew, you're right. Now, why? Why have to learn by yourself rather than looking at other people's mistakes? You know, here's a poor old boy on Skid Row. Now, if you want a starting place for mistakes, that's it. You want to take his advice? Or do you want to take advice of a successful man? Think about it. Where do you draw your advice from? Okay? Don't go down to the Whittler's Club. They know everything. Oh, yes, son, sit down here and I'll tell you how it was. Yeah, that. They haven't got a thing in the world in the Whittler's Club, and they just sit there and whittle and spit. Okay, this is, I've gone by a few years, but you don't see a Whittler's Club too often anymore. But it wasn't too many years ago, the town square or everywhere there were shavings of whittling. They just whittled their lives away. And man, they could answer any question you had, but it was a birth worth about what they were. Okay, now there were some good men could whittle. All right, it was a gift. They could make some pretty things, but oh well. Listen to your father. He's your counselor. He's given you some advice that you couldn't get for $1,000 an hour to some shrink. And I'm not knocking Christian psychologists, okay? They're good doctors at times, and Mr. Luke was a doctor. I'm sure he was one of the better psychologists as well. But I'm saying, You don't have to let yourself be depressed when you have the Word of God and read of His love and His wonderful works, all right? What did He do for the children in that time, and how does it apply to you today? Let's just go a little way with it. 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They ran like a bunch of rabbits. Why? They were well armed, but they had no faith. They were well armed, but they had no gospel armor on. Learn by their mistakes, all right? Don't go into battle without trusting God and having Him with you. If God says, let's go, hey, get with it, because you're going to win. If God doesn't tell you to go, you better stay home. Okay? In the major conflict. 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. How could people today keep it and they don't even know it? They don't even know who they are. It's kind of sad. Well, does that mean we should give up? No, it means we got to work harder. That's all. And you know what? We got the victory. Don't worry. We'll get it done. Because God has written, we will get it done. He's going to get it done. And He uses you to do it. No step for a stepper, okay? 11. And forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. You know what happens when you forget the wonderful works of God? You're out, friend. Sorry, the blessings come to those that know. 12. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. This was the place of departure, okay? They left there richer than they could carry. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. You might say, well, I know that's a good story. Uh-uh. It's not a story. It happened. And what is it supposed to mean to you today? When you're plying through life and it seems to you like there's waters, you can't make it. The enemy of foreclosure is on your tail. That means behind you, okay? It's closing in. What will I do? Now, I'll tell you what, I think I felt like old Moses a time or two where I was jabbing that staff out in there. And is it getting shallower? nothing wrong with that, okay? But God will keep it back today for you. He'll just open your highway and you can drive through. You have His blessings. That's the wonderful works of God. Do you think He's different that day than He is today? If you think so, you're sadly mistaken. We have the same Father that parted that water that watches over you. And you better worry about spiritual waters more than you had the Red Sea or any other sea. Because He can move them back when you exercise the authority. So it means a great deal to you today. Let's go to 14. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Whether it was night or day, He protected them. Kept that hot sun from beating down on their backs as they carried all those riches that they had taken out of Egypt. They earned them. And He brought them a bright light at night, that they could see and had not to fear. He is our light, all right? Do you think if you're in a day of darkness today, do you know you can just stop a moment and say, Father, let me see Thy light? Meaning, by that I mean, let's translate it. It means, let me see clearly what I should do at this moment. Bam! He'll give it to you if you mean it. God hasn't changed. We still have His wonderful works being performed today. If you trust Him and you believe Him, He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. But do you know what they said? Let's read. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. He watered a lot of people from that one stone. 17. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. That is bad. Bad, bad. We wouldn't do that today. Well, why do they? They do. These things are all written. They're set down. This book is printed more than any other book in the world. They have the Word, and they still do it today just like they did then. Maybe not as bad, because those people saw the Red Sea part. You haven't, nor have they, unless they watched the Ten Commandments. I jest. All right, just checking out, see if y'all are awake here. Okay, verse 18. Great man, had a great role there, Charlton Heston. Glad he's head of the NRA now. He gets it said, all right? Verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Help us even to sin, God. We'll pray for it. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Question. And you know what people will say today? Oh, Lord, I'm in such deep trouble, I don't even think God could help me. You think you got trouble? Just stick around, friend. If you're already wilting, I feel sorry for you when the battle starts. You got trouble. Big trouble. I marvel at people today. And here, you know, I didn't think I was going to tell any old war stories today. But I will one, okay? Ever since 12,000 Army Marines and British Royal Marines, about 12,000 of us were encircled by 120,000 Chinese, many, many miles, and just one little old trail out of there. And it was 30 below zero, and we didn't have proper clothing for that. Now, friend, don't tell me about your troubles, because I probably won't be too sympathetic to them. I know what trouble is. But I also know more than maybe anyone how God can bring you through it. Now that's putting the rubber right down where it meets the road, friend. God takes care of His own. He answers prayer. So, you know, don't tell me about your troubles in this time, good times today. Okay. I can tell you what trouble is. All right, now that's just one old war story, and from an old Marine, combat Marine, we go on here. All right, 20. Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can you imagine them having the nerve to ask that? Can he provide flesh for his people? Can he feed them? Well, don't you ask the same thing, friend? I wonder if God can meet my needs. First of all, you know, listen to me, like, and this is certainly nothing against our handicap, because they're smarter and wiser enough that they don't need two hands like most people do. You got two hands and you got a head up on your shoulders, and you can talk to Him, and I'll bet you can make it, because you're somebody. You're a child of God, and He owns everything. Don't give me that poor me baby stuff. You're something. Use it. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. It hurt his feelings, and I don't blame him. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Period. Don't expect blessings if that's your lot, friend. It won't come. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Do you know what corn of heaven is? It's angels' food. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. They didn't have any complaint. Let this be a note, and make a mental note, that if angels' food, manna, will sustain a flesh body, then you can understand how fallen angels could impregnate woman, okay? If that ever gets to be a big mystery to you, understand that we are created exactly in the image of God and the angels. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the... He took care of them. And And you know what they had the nerve to do? You know how manna got its name? Here they're saying, he's got a lot of starve out here. It would have been better if we'd have been back in Egypt at about that time. Boom! Here comes this bread from heaven. And you know what they said? What's that? That's what manna means. What's that? He showed them, all right? I just think that goes well with that reading, okay? Because it even shows the inquisitive mind and doubting mind that they have when they named it manna. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, if God would just give me some manna. What's that? Be careful what you ask for. You might get it. Okay, so I want to skip down to about verse 39 to begin to close this down a little bit. For he remembered that there were but flesh. He remembered that people were just flesh bodies, a wind that passed away and cometh not again. In other words, the flesh body, he had created man flesh. It goes into the ground, it goes back to dust, and that's it. But naturally, his soul returns instantly to the Father in his spiritual body. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. My point is I don't want you to limit him. You can. You're the only one that can limit God in to that has to do with your life. And man, if you want to, you can be, we could call you scissors. Because of the way you do, you just cut off all relationship. You just cut off all the limits all the way. Because it is you that limit him. If you'll open yourself to him, receive him, his wonderful work works plural into your life and become a part of it. He struck that rock and it gushed forth. Do you think his blessings won't gush forth as you need them in your life? And that's what's important to know, as you need them. Okay. A moderation in all things. All right? So, Father is able. That's part of his wonderful works. Turn with me quickly to Psalms 111. Okay? I believe that's where I want to go. Psalms 111. I'm going to cover this real quickly. It's rather short. Okay? I'm going to begin reading verse 1, Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. That's my mind. In the assembly of the upright. That means the just. That's what you're in now. And in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. That's his blessings. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. I want you to mark that in your mind anytime you have doubts. Do you know how long forever is? That means now, friend. It means tomorrow, and it means the next day. He's there for you. He won't let you down. Now, are you going to let him down? That's the question. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered, not forgotten, remembered. That's why they will be declared again on Pentecost Day of the future. That day symbolizes when God's elect stand up and that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks through them. It will be these same wonderful works. And that is taking place at that time. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Don't you ever dare call him anything other than compassionate, or you'll be punished by him. That's getting the scissors and limiting him to helping you in your life. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. That's to say, revere him. If you love him, he's going to give you something to chew on. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Do you know it? That's the problem. He has a covenant, a promise that he made to you. If you keep it, you can count on it. You'll be blessed. You forget the covenant, the mighty works of God, and you just limited God in your life. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the, translate that word nations, it's not heathen, it's nations. For we're going into a one world system with one king and one Lord of all. The works of his hands are verity, that means truth, and judgment, that means justice. All his commandments are sure. Do you know them? They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. They don't change, so don't be making excuses about, I forgot. It's all the same. Stays the same. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Not some man's name, but God's name only. That's why you hear me say, reverence only God, not man. The fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Now let's read that over again. I want you to be sure you're sharp. I want to read it to you one more time. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do what? That do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. That means today, my friend. That means now, and that means always. I've just got to share one more thing with you in the 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm is an acrostic psalm. And do you know what an acrostic means? It means there is something hidden there from the surface. 119th. Something is hidden there from the surface that God doesn't necessarily want everybody to know and or understand. I have a work titled The 10 Words, and they're used in all these. That might help you a great deal if you don't know what I'm talking about. I promised you that we would use the Hebrew word P-E-L-E instead of P-A-L-A. This is where we come to that, and it means miracle. We're going to start with the verse 129, and you'll notice that the Hebrew letter P are pronounced pe, introduces this particular part of the parable. In other words, this is an alphabetical acrostic. And what would you expect him to give us under pe or ki other than kila? Got it? Okay, I'm going to say it again because I want you to understand that. Under the part of this acrostic that is P, I'll speak in English, that is under P, he brings forth a word wonderful concerning his works that is Pele, P-E-L-E, Pele. Okay? Got it? That's the acrostic. Now let's absorb it. And we're through. 129, verse 129 of Psalms 119. Following P, 129 reads, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Boy, you can count on that, beloved. You can really count on that. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The word wonderful used in that first verse concerning testimony, works of God, is P-E-L-E, P-E, which is under P in the acrostic. I open my mouth, I thirst, is what it really says in Hebrew, and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Are you thirsty to hear the word of God? Do you pant to really absorb truth whereby your family is blessed? Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Used to do. is one of, I believe it's the seventh word of the ten, which is ordinances. Okay, as your ordinances said, 133, order my steps in thy word. Do you ever ask God to do that, to order your steps, to tell you what to do, to show you what to do? And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Keep your eyes open. Don't step into the trap. Don't encase yourself. 134, deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts, God's word. It's important. That's why it's important that you study his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. This is a most beautiful acrostic showing you under Pele, wonderful. The word wonderful, and it means miracle. It is a miracle in your life. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Do you ask the Father to do that? Well, I just can't hardly understand. Well, ask him, and he will open your mind. Ask, and you shall receive, if it is of his will and way and word. 136, rivers of water run down mine eyes. Why? Because they keep not thy law. You can look around you in this world today, and you can see the destruction. Children killing children. You can see people using drugs, looking for something better. And they had Pele all the time. The wonderful works of God for their lives and in their lives. So, what was spoken on Pentecost Day? They spoke of the wonderful works of God. He wants to work in your life. He doesn't want any burnt offerings or sacrificial offerings. He wants your love. And he wants you to plant those seeds. And whether you like it or not, if you stand on that day and he witnesses through you, you're going to speak of the wonderful megalos in the Greek, magnificent words of God, his works and words. You're going to do it. And I'm happy for you. But don't let a day waste in your life today by not taking advantage of his blessings by participating in his mighty works. All right? It's great to be able to participate in his works. You can do it. One soul is ever so important. You might say, well, what can I do? You know people that maybe no one else does, and maybe just your spirit can lead, and that person will need a truth, and you'll share it, and bam, just like that. And that person is worth it. That's why our tears can run down, is for our brothers and sisters that don't know and seemingly have no way of knowing, but God will see to it. Praise his name for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful works, Father. We feel inadequate at times, but we know you make it possible because we stay armed with thy word, Father. Bless this congregation that they declare that word that Christ showed us to declare in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Epistles of John. Three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the